Hi, Amanda.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I gave Jeff Watzenberg your phone number. He asked for it today.
Oh, okay.
Just in case you wonder how we got.
No, if he had it, I wouldn't even think twice. I'm surprised he doesn't have it. I've known him for a long
He
time.
lost it.
Oh, well, yeah, there we go. Yeah, were you able to join Mike in the event last evening?
Yeah, we can chat about that later.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Meetings are recorded, and I don't want to bore whoever
That would be boring.
decides to watch it. It
Yeah.
was not what I expected. Let me just put it to you that way.
Oh, how about that?
So, yeah. Oh, how did I screw that up?
What happened? Oh, she's still there. Oh, there she is.
An extra number on the agenda somehow. Fail.
Oh, oops.
The
Hi,
ghost
Paula.
agenda item to be determined.
Oh.
I was late getting it to the city, right? I was so focused on getting the materials out to you guys and everything that I'd like totally forgot.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to get the agenda to the town
Yeah.
officials. So late Sunday night, I was doing that. Did you send it to us?
That's how it
No,
goes.
not the agenda itself. I can send it to you right now. It was on the website, but you need a Word doc, right?
Oh, that's fine. I can grab it from the website.
How do you take notes in it? You keep, let me hear. I can send it to Paula. Which your Comcast email?
No, send it to my work.
Working.
Yeah.
So I know Milton said he can't make it, and Rhea won't be able to make it.
Hear from Dan?
I haven't heard from Dan in forever.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm assuming he's not gonna make it.
Yeah.
And Jen, I got your email right before
Hi.
the meeting.
Hi.
And then I was hoping Rhea would send, because I talked to her this weekend about it. I was hoping she would send her feedback or ideas before the meeting, but I didn't get anything. That
Was a lot of work you put in there. It's amazing how much work you did.
And yet we still have no conclusions. So that's what I'm hoping to come to today.
It's a lot to digest.
Right. Oh, we're in the
Everyone, yes, we did.
Looks like you had a fun fair.
It was busy. Yep.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Great.
And then I talked to Cheryl at the book event we were at, and she knew about the meeting, so I hope she's planning on joining us. She did say she'd seen my email and was looking at it, so.
That's right.
So Rhea, Milton, Dan, and Cheryl. So, I mean, we have a quorum, so I will, and it's 7 o'clock, so I will call the meeting to order at 7 o'clock, just because we've got a lot to talk about today. First order of business is public participation. If there is a ghost person on the call who would like to say something, now would be time. All right, hearing none. Moving on to approval of minutes from the last meeting in July. I only opened the agenda, not the packet. Oh, I don't think they posted the packet for me, so I may have to open the through alternative means. My computer's thinking, sorry. So at the last, the notes that were included in the packet, which was hopefully, well, they didn't post it clearly. So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at the meetings, so I will briefly share them on my screen so everybody can see them. We don't do a ton of detail. If people want the detail, they can listen to the video. Is everybody seeing my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So note from the meeting on July 19th, who was in attendance? And now, of course, my screen doesn't want to move. Okay. So pretty much the same group was there. We started at 7:05, no public comments. We approved the minutes from the prior three meetings because we hadn't had a quorum since, I guess, April. And then we looked at the surveys or the previous draft of the survey analysis that I had done and sent out. And we discussed briefly the youth survey, which I did send to Rhea and Paula in between. And I think Paula and I may need to meet to go over a couple things or discuss a couple things. And then we discussed other commission activities. We list off books that we thought would be a good idea to start our meeting, our first book committee meeting with. And then we talked about approaching the library to see what might be the best approach, pulling social media to see who would be interested in the survey. And that if we wanted to use town resources, it would need to be a town sanctioned book club. And then I will be quite frank, I did no work on the book club idea in between the last meeting because the survey took precedence. So if there's anyone else who really wants to take charge of that book club, I will tell you, it will not get kicked off the ground by me before the survey report is done because I just have to prioritize that. Any questions, concerns on the notes from last meeting?
I was not at the meeting. The minutes would need to be corrected.
So I will have to make that correction. I probably just copied yours from the previous meeting. My mistake. With the correction of removing Paula from the minutes, any other questions or concerns?
The only other thing that I saw, if you go down to the book, the possible book club, a little bit more. Okay. Number D needs to be a town sanctioned club in order to utilize library. We are a town commission. I would think that would qualify all by itself.
Yes, if our commission continues.
True.
So
okay, here's an idea.
And it's been unclear what we are allowed to do without the express permission of the Board of Selectmen.
That's true too. Okay, well let's take one step at a time. Let's see if let's approve the minutes first, and then we can discuss the rest.
I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes with the change of removing Paula from the attendees.
So moved.
Anyone willing to second?
Second.
Any discussion before we vote? Alrighty, hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes with the one discussed change from July 19th, please say aye.
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 I'll abstain.
Great, thanks. Sorry, I was rearranging my screen so I could see if Jen raised her hand, but I'm assuming Paula, you saw whether or not she voted in the affirmative. All right, great. So moving on.
Did you vote yes? I can't see your face.
Sorry, I've raised my hand. And Jen is raising her hand. Yes.
Okay. All right.
All in favor. Okay. And then are you voting in favor, Paula, or abstaining?
I'm abstaining.
Okay. So. Oh, goodness. There we go. Sorry, and my dog is dragging me up a wall. Tally, you need to go lay down. Back to the agenda. So we were supposed to elect new officers in July. This happens every year, regardless of if your commission is a year old or not. So even though we haven't quite hit our annual anniversary, we do need to choose a chair and vice chair of the committee. So I would accept any type of nominations that the committee would like to put forth for chair or vice chair.
Nominate Amanda Gordon for chair.
Second.
Anybody else want to maybe be chair? No. I'm like, yes, but no. Okay. I mean, considering we don't know the what's going to happen with the committee and the work that we are doing right now, I would be willing to take it on for the time being. Yes.
Can you explain again? I missed a part. Why are we electing officers again? I'm having a hard time hearing there's some feedback or something.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Keep talking.
All committees have to re-elect officers in July every year.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
It's the charter.
Yep.
The old charter said that after every election, it had to be done. And when we did the charter revision, we made it so that chairs are elected after every municipal election. It just never got that one little word made a huge difference.
Oh, so it's every 2 years, not every year.
Yeah, whenever the town has the election, that's when we will be doing it. Come 2023.
Okay. Good to know. Any other nominations for chair? Okay, hearing none. All in favor of choosing me as chair again of the commission for the next year, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And I will abstain.
You're allowed to vote for yourself.
You can.
You are, I mean.
Doesn't matter. The motion passes, I am chair. Do we have any nominations for vice chair or any?
I'll nominate Kwan for vice chair.
I'll second it. Any other nominations for vice chair? Okay. Do we want to, all in favor of Kwan as vice chair, please say aye.
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 Any abstentions? Any opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. All right, thank you for getting that out of the way. The next main piece of our, you need to go right down. The next main piece of our agenda is the survey announced. So you all got my late reading. in the email, which I did somehow turn into PDFs to send out to the public because I felt like we had to be able to put that out there. If people can zoom in enough to read it, that'll be on them, but you guys got the Excel version. So the hope for today was to look at the scores by Slicer to kind of compare them, basically compare the subpopulations to the overall scores that included all respondents and see if there was anything we thought would be worth mentioning or highlighting or digging into deeper. I did not do any combinations of slicers. So like two different identities, I just did one identity at a time. So if people wanted to see multiple identities together, that's something I would have to do separately. It's not very hard. but I just haven't done that yet. And then you saw the other tabs with all the narrative questions, which I took an attempt at grouping based on themes. So if you guys want to change those themes or move things around to different groups, we can absolutely do that. And so basically the goal is to identify key potential findings based on the data. I don't particularly know how to determine like whether the findings are statistically significant or to what confidence level. That takes me back 15 years to my degree. So Rhea was going to look into potential resources that might be able to do that for us. The ends are so small though that, you know, I doubt anything is super statistically significant. So we're really just looking at this and drawing conclusions based on what we see, understanding that there's assumptions that go into it, right? So one of the basic assumptions that I need to put into the methodology of the survey is that people self-selected to fill out this survey. And so there is a bias in and of itself that people who responded to the survey had something to say or wanted to respond. And that could either be in a negative way or in a positive way, right? And so that's just a basic underlying assumption that we need to pull out in the report that I have not yet written into the report. So do folks want to start with the Word document and draft that and provide feedback on that, or do you prefer to start with the Excel document and dig into that first?
In my vote, if I would start with the Excel, it is pretty in-depth. Pretty voluminous. So, and on my own personal copy, I do have a couple things that caught my eye.
Okay, let me share my screen so everybody can see it, and then you'll have to tell me where to go. So if folks did not get a chance, I'm hoping everybody got a chance to look at it on a screen that everything wants to be slow here. Okay, so at the top, you see the colorful things, that's the population. And the number in the parentheses is the number of respondents that I responded to that saying that they did have that identity. Some of them are compilations, right? So minority gender, I explained how I got minority gender from like what made up that subpopulation. And then down to the left, you see all of the questions. And so this, the one that says overall, that's overall respondents. So everybody together, 182 respondents. And then as you go to the right, you see the sub-respondents. So I did freeze it so that you should have been able to scroll right and still see the overall population. So your difference in rating and difference in favorability is the difference between the rating for that subpopulation and the overall score right here, and the difference between the favorability rating and the overall favorability rating. So that's basically what we're looking at. So any big, ginormous differences, swings, are the things we're either in one direction or the other, positive or negative. That's what we're kind of looking to take a look at and see what it might potentially mean, understanding that the smaller the end, the less significant it is, right? So for our, you know, questions where only maybe five people responded to it, it may have less of an impact than where, you know, 30 people responded or something like that. So come on, take it away if you had specific things you wanted to.
So what kind of stood out to me, if I just go by the main slicers, so disability, the minority, sexual orientation, left-leaning, and the non-Christian but identifies with a religion. Those particular columns, so I kind of immediately looked at the average rating, and then I looked at the difference in rating. So I kind of looked at, you know, a curve of certain standard deviations. In those particular slicers, when those groups in this particular spreadsheet were, you know, obviously put out here, they seem to have the largest negative ratings from the average. So I kind of looked at that and thought perhaps maybe there were some opportunities, maybe we can draw some conclusions to maybe try to address, make a recommendation to address some of those negative feelings there. You're on mute.
I didn't want feedback while you were talking in the other room, but you said disability and minority sexual orientation. Oh, you're on mute now.
Left-leaning.
And then
non-Christian.
Okay. And those were a couple that I had flagged as well while I was doing it, because I was just kind of keeping tabs. I was like, oh, those seem very different from the norm and in some groups that I wasn't quite expecting. Any particular question as you went down the sheet that stood out, or just broadly?
Probably looking at the actual numbers. So, you know, obviously we know that a majority of people that responded were identified as female. And I think I was actually a little bit surprised about the people of color section, that the numbers were what they are. But then again, I had to go back and remember that there's only a small population of people that identify with color. So I expected that to be a little bit more different than the average. But again, I had to go back and say to myself that there's only a small representation of people that identify there.
Right. So these all seem to be, the difference is all in a less than 0.2 for the BIPOC population, which stands for Black Indigenous People of Color. If folks do not like that label, we can certainly change it for the report. That's just one that I chose as being inclusive. Sorry, my dog is tracking. And the other thing I should explain, which some of you probably looked down here and saw the holes. So I only did the analysis for the question that pertained to the subpopulation, right? So for BIPOC, I did, you know, I was looking to see, did people who have that identity respond differently than the average? So like, do we necessarily care if people of color, you know, responded more heavily for people with non-Christian faiths, or do we care if people who have non-Christian faiths responded differently to that question? So that was my thought process with regards to why I can certainly calculate it for all of them. I just thought it made the most sense to look at it that way. And then some, like it also highlighted to me where we forgot something, unfortunately, of the survey. We did not put, you know, a question related to minority sexual orientation in question 5. So it definitely highlighted some areas where we might have missed a subpopulation in a question where they should have been listed. So do we want to look at those subpopulations one by one that Kwan highlighted? Were there subpopulations that others had highlighted when they were looking through this? I will say that the greatest swings, or the greatest predictor of how far from the norm you were likely to, you know, go, is based on political affiliation and ideology. Not very surprising, right? But that is where we saw the biggest swings in either direction. So your left leaning and your right leaning, much more like the most negative scores away from the norm, from the average, were for your left leaning folks. I could see if that was regardless of race and, you know, gender. I didn't do, like I said, that double layer of slicer. And then your right leaning had some of the largest swings in the positive direction for all questions straight down the board. And then, as might be expected, the moderate group had things that were a little more positively favored than the average, right? So you're seeing more positive scores, but not the swing that you saw for the left and the right. So
Yeah, so, I think to go along with that, Amanda, is also the comparison between male and female.
Did I do male? Did I do that one or no? Male, I did do male. Did I do, let's see here, sorry to zoom out, it's just easier to, male and female, yes. Okay, so now I can zoom in a little. So we did see that females responded more negatively and males responded more positively, had more favorable responses than the average. It was weighted, you know, there were double the amount of females that responded than the amount of males, but still.
Yeah, I guess I'd be curious to find out, you know, what other identifiers we could put on those male and female categories. Like, is the female category largely left-leaning? Is the male category largely right-leaning? Is there something else that's significant behind that?
Maybe education level attained.
So we could actually, let's see here. If I show you my craziness, I saved every slicer as its own whole entire assessment. So if we wanted to look at female, for instance, and we wanted to look at like question, or well, let's identify one question we want to look at. So where did females swing really far compared to men? So providing equal employment opportunity, the ed was kind of low for that one, so let's not look at that one. So up at the top, it looks like there's no difference. So attracting people from diverse backgrounds to live and work in, or valuing and demonstrating respect for residents from diverse backgrounds. So we're about equidistant, right? Men and women are about equidistant from the average. Women are like 0.25-ish negative, and men are around 0.25-ish in the more favorable direction. So let's look at question one, number three. So we go to question one, we go to number three, valuing and demonstrating. And then in theory, there we go. So you double click on it and you see the population. So this is automatically looking only at responses from females. So then we could go to the right and look at the other identifiers of this group. So let's see here. So here's the political affiliation. So we know that there are in this group 111 females. Of those 111 females, actually, I'll do the right leaning and left leaning and not that political affiliation. Of the 111, 40, there's only 92 records here. So there must have been people that didn't respond. Let me see here. 92 people respond. So of the 92, oh, I got rid of it, 47 are left leaning. So about half, not. So that doesn't seem to necessarily be skewing the results. Let's see here, we could look at presence of a disability because we also saw that population seemed to deviate from the average. So 17 of the 92 have disabilities, and 17, how many of the folks had a disability? 28. So about a little more than half of the folks with a disability were female. So again, nothing like that would necessarily, I mean, so I can layer these on top, right? So like, for instance, I can go to the slicer. If we wanted to look at the responses, the scores for women, so you can see here, Female. So we've got female already. If we wanted to look at female left-leaning, it's thinking, I'm asking my computer to do a lot. Okay. And then I go look at the scores now. So now these scores are for females who are also left-leaning. And we see here that, I didn't look at the end, but the end is about, is the 40 or so folks that were left-leaning. So comparing, it's not gonna let me. I wanna show these on the same screen so that we can look at the results. It's very hard to do this without two or three screens. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do that. Nope, I'm just gonna have to tell you what the scores are. Sorry, guys. So it looks like that question we were looking at, valuing and demonstrating respect for residents, for liberal women, liberal females, it's 1.74. For all females, it was 1.7. No, wrong question. It was 2.13. So it did go down by about 0.4. So that did skew, those scores are quite lower compared to the average female score. Now, I don't have the skill set to determine, the statistical significance of that and build that into this analysis, but, we may have to, and I don't know that we could pay for someone to do it either. We don't have a budget, right? if we wanted someone to do a statistical analysis, we could go to the Board of Selectmen, ask to have someone do that level of analysis. But it does look like that skews things. We could look at, all females, the score for this question is 2.13. We know that liberal females is 1.74. If we want to do the 17 females to identify as having a disability, the computation behind this is takes a while for the computer to run. Are you guys seeing my screen now? Yep. Still? Okay. Yep. As it gets really glitchy. So now if I go to Q1, that question is 1.41, so even lower. So it went from 2.13, liberal women was 1.74, and now this is 1.41. So it really does look like when you layer on all those differing identities that skewed it more negative, that it just gets more and more negative, which one would expect, right? Like if the groups as a whole, females, people with disabilities, liberals, have a negative opinion, you would expect when you layer them on top of each other that that would lower the score even further or create more of a negative opinion, which is what we are seeing as the score gets lower and lower. I mean, broadly speaking, I can draw out, those main populations, right? That Kwan mentioned, disability, minority sexual orientation, those who identify as left-leaning, those who identify as non-Christian religions, and just kind of broadly say that they responded less favorably than the overall average to most questions. And I can try to identify some of the key questions where there was the most skewing, right? The most deviation from the average. I'm trying to think of which groups had an extreme positive. So like Kwan said, the BIPOC population, people who identified as BIPOC or with a race that I decided to label as BIPOC, tended to skew a little bit on the less favorable side, but not, again, as much as we might think, particularly on this, you know, question of how the Bulletin does, you know, welcoming people. They didn't seem to respond that much more negatively to that than the overall population. Particularly when you looked at white people only, they scored that number is wrong, isn't it? No, it's sorry, I was comparing this to this, not that to that. So even, which is interesting, because white people as a whole scored it slightly less than the average, which means that there's probably some really high scores here that are skewing it that far right, the average score just that far right. Looking at disability, oh, I failed to put this here. There we go. Okay. So this one is very significant, right? Like compared to, I'm hearing myself on your computer, Kwan is driving me nuts. So you see people of color were 0.15 in the negative compared to the average. Whereas people with disability compared to the average had a score 0.75 different from the average for this question about how people with a disability are treated. So that's pretty big, which means that the population that matters when we ask this question, right? People with disability, they have a much more negative opinion of how they are treated than the average respondent did. So that's something we would likely want to draw attention to. Interestingly enough, people who identify with a minority sexual orientation. I wasn't looking at minority sexual orientation. Sorry, I was looking at minority gender identity. I felt that they were scored higher than the average norm, right? So they rated that they were treated on a score of 2.8 and had a 60% favorability rating. So it's lower than, so that's about on par with the, oh no, that's much higher than the favorability rating on average. And so that means like people who don't identify with minority genders think we treat more people of minority genders more poorly than the people who identify that way themselves, right? So like, that's where it gets interesting, right?
That's
like,
very interesting.
Right. So other people who responded who are not transgender, non-binary, think we treat people of minority genders worse than the actual people who identify that way. Again, very small n, you're talking 5 people who identified that way. So that, but this would lead you to think that maybe we don't necessarily have an issue with people who identify with a minority gender if the people who identify that way are scoring more favorably than the average. And so maybe that's a perception that exists that isn't true. As you go right, females scored a little, felt like they received a little less better than the average respondent, but again, that's also because the average respondent is also female, because there's the majority of females. Males only slightly more favorable on how the town treats males, so not a huge thing there. Again, minority sexual orientation, I didn't ask a good question. We didn't ask a question about people without post-secondary education. That's a hard one as well to say, like, how do people treat people without a post-secondary education, right? Because you don't know that when speaking to someone necessarily. So this was very interesting to me too. Again, a very small N, you're talking about 5 people, but on average, the people who speak other than English as a preferred language responded quite favorably to the survey. And 1.6 points higher on average than the average respondent. So that's another one of those, again, where you might think based on the general score, that which is like slightly negative, right? Where 45% favor positivity or favorability rating as a whole, but they all 100% favorability rating. So they either scored good or excellent for all four people who speak other than English. And so I actually went and looked at that to see like what other identities do they have that might be skewing them in the favorability direction. I was thinking maybe they were all potentially right leaning, and they're not. So that was an interesting thing that I noticed. Again, hard to draw conclusions with such a small n. And then here I failed to calculate again, apparently. Okay, so people who are foreign born, and 9 people responded to this question, felt that scored slightly higher in terms of their favorability scoring, 2.89, so actually not a little bit higher, quite a bit higher, 0.51. They felt that people treated them better than the average respondent felt that we treated them. So, people with a low area median income, so people who are very low income and lower. So I grouped together 30% people who responded that they believe they were at 30% and 50% of AMI, and compared that to the rest. So this was 11 people responded, and they also felt like they responded much more negatively than the average responding. So the average person thinks we treat poor people pretty well. Well, not pretty well, got a 44% favorability rating, so it's slightly negative, but they only gave them an 18.8% favorability rating. So almost like 80% of our people who identify as poor in town felt that they are not treated very well. 80% of the respondents.
In line with US citizens?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that line along with U.S. citizens?
This is the foreign born.
Right, but go to the yeah. Isn't that the same line as people who are not U.S. citizens?
Oh, I put it, you are right. I put that on the wrong. I believe I put that on the wrong. I just put that on the wrong thing. This should go, down here. It should go down here. Let me confirm. I can easily confirm that that is the right data that I just put on the wrong line. Below 50% of the AMI, and that is question. That's question 5. People who have lower income levels, 1.55 was the score, and 18.18. Yes. So those are the correct scores. I just put them on the wrong row when I copied them in. But now, okay, there we go. Sorry about that. So still pretty negative. Not quite as negative, but still pretty negative. And the percentage obviously is the same. So we gave a overall respondents felt like we weren't great at treating people who were poor. Being welcoming to them, but they felt even more strongly that we are not welcoming to people who are poor. And I saw that throughout the whole, like the narrative responses, right? Like there was a lot of mention about money and a lot of mention about affordable housing. So I think that that is definitely a theme that we may want to elevate in our report. That number is not right. It's not pulling the right fit. There we go. So this is folks who identify as 65 and older. The town generally had a positive rating, over 2.5 is positive. 78% favorability rating, and they too also had a 78 favorability rating. Slightly more negative than the average score, but not super significant there. People in the military generally rated pretty well. So like, again, that's a theme that, you know, we would want to draw out. Like some groups felt like we treated some groups pretty well. So your male, your veterans, your older folks, and the population, the people who responded to the survey who identified that way generally agreed, right? Like men generally agreed they were treated well. Veterans and military generally agreed that they were treated well because they don't show significantly different scores compared to the average, and same with military and men folks who are older. So we're not seeing, again, a 78 favorability percentage compared to 75, not a huge difference, and only a 0.1 difference in overall score. So we do know that there are some populations that the general consensus is that we are treating that group pretty well. I did do each subpopulation for the left-leaning, right-leaning, and moderate just to see where it went because of how skewed the above responses were. And as you can see, they continue to be skewed quite significantly, except again, for those populations that we kind of already identified, males, vets, and the older folks. There's general consensus on that there's not a huge deviation from the average score there. You see a lot of skewing on the other, the other numbers, and same with the right leaning, but just in the other direction. And then with the moderates, you still see a little bit of a skewing towards favorability, but not anywhere near as far as the right leaning folks, which kind of fits with our understanding that many of our moderate, unaffiliated, independent voters in town do tend to vote more right-wing. So that may be why we see a little bit of that lean towards the positive rating. Again, here's a significant difference, like Kawan was talking about, people who identify with non-Christian religions or non-mainstream religions. So this was, again, a small group, 11 people, but they think that they are treated much more poorly than the average respondent did. Or, well, not treated poorly, I shouldn't use that language, that the town is less welcoming to them. And then the other thing that Kwan did not draw out, but that is interesting, is that people who are no longer in town really don't like us.
Wow, that is interesting.
They were really negative. But again, that gets to the self-selection, right? In terms of who responded to the survey. I don't know if many people who had a super positive experience in Bolton felt the need to respond to the survey the way someone who had a negative experience did, right? So that also has to factor into the analysis. But yes, it's red all the way down, and the numbers are all greater than point, like almost all the numbers are greater than 0.5 difference from the average score. And then you see the difference in favorability as well is quite large in terms of favorability percentage. So, and the reason why, like, so sometimes these don't necessarily jive, right? Like the score may be much lower, but the favorability rating may be higher. And that's because whether or not people chose excellent or good, like that'll skew the score more, but they are both rated as favorable. So that's why when you look at these, they're just a little different when you look at the favorability percentage versus the score. So depending on how many of the people who responded favorably chose good versus excellent, it's going to skew that score either more towards the middle or further away from the middle. But yeah, I did not break down like the non-current residents to people that used to be students or people that currently work in town who are not not residents. There were only two of those, so I didn't feel like it was necessarily, you know, like I didn't feel like I could break that population down into subgroups any further than it was already broken down into, but might be interesting, and I can do this, actually, we could look at it to see what the narratives are, the narrative responses are specifically to this population. I have a feeling I could pull some of them out, but. So I'm doing a lot of talking. wondering what other folks are thinking in terms of things we should highlight for the report. I think we should certainly discuss those populations where the deviation for how welcoming Poland is for their population is much more negative than the average respondent. I think that that's important to highlight. And then, you know, the negative general responses in the above questions are important to highlight.
I had just a general comment about it.
Yeah.
I was looking up and it's in the email I sent you right before the meeting, but it was the Springfield, Missouri, their diversity survey report.
Yep.
And it said that their survey had a mix of open-ended questions with regular multiple choice questions, but it mainly focuses on the open-ended questions. The only things it has percentages of is it asks what part of town they're from, their race, ethnicity, gender, age, and then it puts the level of inclusiveness. Those are like the only statistics they even have in the report, really, which I found interesting. Like they're only really looking.
So you're saying the report looks mostly at the answers to narrative question?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think that's right per se. That's the only report I've viewed, but they only really are looking at the percentages for the level of inclusiveness overall in town.
Interesting. Well, that is something we didn't look at, is the diversity level score. As well as rating. Oh, this is something we haven't talked about as well, but I do think we should get to the narrative questions, because I know you guys were interested in seeing those responses, and I'm sure some of them, if you look through them, were eye-opening for you. So down here, we asked people to say if they have been discriminated against on this, based on, you know, this identity. So the interesting thing is where you would expect that, like, if 21 people said that they'd been discriminated based on race, then all of the people that said they were discriminated based on race should have identified as a race other than white, or other than, yeah. But what we see here is that of the 21 who said that they'd been discriminated based on race, 15 were people of color and 5 were white. So that's illustrative. And again, same with like the differing ability levels. So physical ability, it's hard to do this one, right? Because we asked people if they have any type of disability. But so 16 people reported they'd been discriminated against based on physical disability, but only 11 of those people identify as actually having a disability. So 5 of them were not people who at least admitted or said in the survey that they have a disability. And this one, quite interestingly, right? I guess not necessarily, because they could be female. Yes, I lied. So of the people that said that they'd been discriminated again based on gender identity, it wasn't necessarily people with a minority gender identity, it was mostly females who said that they'd been discriminated against. And one male. Minority sexual orientation, 20 people reported discrimination, 13 of the people who actually have a minority sexual orientation reported discrimination. So the other 7 are people that I guess identify with a mainstream sexual orientation, or just people who did not admit to having a minority sexual orientation, or put one of the other responses in here. So those are some interesting things as well to look at.
Did we have a question just asking about how we feel the level of inclusiveness is in town, or the level of diversity? I forget.
we asked about diversity level. So we asked, like, how do you feel about the current diversity level, with 5 being it's perfect as it is, 1 being it's too diverse, and 9 being it should be much more diverse. So the average score was 6.8. So that was all the scores at the bottom. So,
okay.
The average respondent said 6.8. People of color responded 0.16, lower than the average. White people only scored 0.1, higher than the average. People with a disability thought it should be 0.52, more inclusive than the average, or more diverse, my apologies. Minority genders felt like, so really I was trying to see like which population was skewing this more towards the 9 level. And so females skewed it a bit more towards 9. People with minority sexual orientations definitely skewed the data more towards 9. Stop, Kelly. Who else scored higher? Poor people identify as having lower incomes. Felt like there should be much more diversity. The older folks were about even with the average. So here, this is where it really came in, is our left-leaning folks definitely skewed the number more towards 9. Your right-leaning folks definitely try to skew the number more down, but there were less of them to do so, right? So we know that with averages, the number of people matter, right? So we definitely know that the left-leaning folks skew this number towards the right. Again, people with non-Christian faiths also wanted it to be much more diverse, and non-current residents felt like it was not diverse enough. So those are the groups that really skewed our diversity level up. So non-residents, non-Christian faiths, left-leaning folks with the 8.1, and I think the other one I said was females is a little quite high, and minority sexual orientation. So
who were the people that were under the 6.8? It was the right-leaning. Was there anybody else that was below 6.8?
Yep, so anyone with the red. So actually the BIPOC group, right, which was shocking. So people who identify as people of color in general thought that the diversity was better than the average respondent. People with minority genders were more towards less diversity than the average respondent. Males were slightly more towards less diversity than the average respondent. People without post-secondary education were more towards less diversity. People other than English preference, again, this was the very unique thing that we found, that they really rated quite favorably. Foreign-born folks, again, rated that the diversity was, they responded more towards less diversity than the average respondent did. 65 plus, slightly less, not very big there. Folks in the military. So nobody had an average score really low except for the right-leaning folks, right? Like that was the absolute lowest average. So there was nothing below, there was no subpopulation that scored below 5, except for the right-leaning folks as a whole. So the consensus of the group is that Bolton could be just a little bit more diverse. Even though when you look at the, this is not the right document, sorry. When you look at the chart that I, it's on my other screen, I put it on the, right here. So you can, there were quite a few people who said 9, right? But they're being dragged closer to the middle by all the other scores. So, but I mean, I think in general, this is more illustrative than the average, right? Like, I think seeing this at the bars that suggest we should be slightly more diverse compared to the people that say we should be less diverse, again, kind of shows where we are, understanding, right, that there were more left-leaning folks who responded to this than necessarily our right-wing folks, which we know are the ones that scored down here.
You know, it might be interesting to see what the median is of these, because if it's significantly different than the, which in this case, it looks like it would be, right? Then the average, that is going to probably tell us something.
Yep, I can do that. What question was that? That was back here. Please choose a number. So not too far off from the 6.8.
Okay, interesting.
Which, looking at, let me see here, looking at the, yeah, I mean, you've got, yeah, because you've got about equal numbers on this side as you do, right? Like, that's kind of what you expect.
Interesting.
If you didn't have all these numbers down here, right, like it would skew slightly more probably towards 8 or 9, but yep. So, I mean, I think we can draw a conclusion there with the underlying assumptions that we have obviously already discussed about self-selection bias. But do we want to talk about the narrative questions? It's getting late, and I want to make sure I get your comments and feedback on the narrative stuff. Did folks get a chance to look at these?
Yeah, interesting. A lot of if people commented, they were on the extremes, either really good things or really terrible things to say.
Yeah, and those were obviously the easiest to categorize. Some of the ones in the middle, I was like, well, how do I label this? They're just kind of like, meh. Did folks agree with kind of the groups I labeled them with? Was there anything that stuck out to you for any of the questions?
That was pretty good.
I mean, I guess I'm not really sure how I'd write this part up. My thought was that I would just take each one at a time, discuss the main themes, give a couple examples under each theme.
In the link I sent you with that report from the Springfield, Missouri, they go in depth with the open-ended questions, and I saw that they put like individual people's comments in the form.
Yep, that is my plan. I was going to pull out some of the illustrative one. So if you guys, if you felt, let's see here. So this is the, this is not the results, right? The results are.
Really, yeah, that is the question.
Okay. Yeah. So they put a bunch of the comments in here. Yeah. So, that is similar to what I would suggest that we do. So if folks had any particular, I don't think it behooves us to put all of them in, right, for all the questions. So we need to pull out, I think importantly, we want to pull out themes and then a couple that really speak to the intent of each theme. But I don't know if you guys had any, if you guys wanted to go through and flag the ones that you really think that we should include in the report verbatim, that might be helpful.
Where was the fatalistic category? That kind of made me laugh a little when I saw that.
Yeah, the gray, that was the gray, right? I can't remember where that was. I was struggling to figure out how to label that one, quite frankly. So, I mean, this is an area, if I'm being quite frank, like this is an area of the report that doesn't necessarily take like a lot of Excel knowledge to write, to help pull together. So I could really use some help in these sections.
The thing I'm struggling with right now is when somebody reads this, they're going to ask us to help them draw some conclusions.
Well, right. So that's the next step that we have to talk about is.
When I read some of this, I'm struggling with it myself. You know, people can look at any one part of this and if they're looking for it and say it meets what I was expecting. Right.
Right.
And correct. So I'm struggling with things like when you were just on that fatalistic one, some of those comments and then tie it to the fact that yes, people with disabilities spoke of a more negative experience, but then had kind of a more overall positive, responses, except for those, you know, specifically to them. And I'm trying to figure that, like, I can't make it make sense in my mind how these things are all kind of.
So I was talking to Rhea about this a little bit over the weekend because she couldn't make today's meeting. And so, you know, we either take the approach where we hire somebody to do a statistical analysis and they say, this difference is statistically significant, and therefore this is an area that we really need to pay attention to. With our small n, unlikely to happen, right? That's the only way to say, like, this is a definite finding that is really important that the town needs to focus on. The other approach we could take is to say, if one person feels badly in town, like if one person with a disability in town feels like they've been discriminated against because they have a disability, that is a problem. If one person who is a person of color feels like they've, you know, are not welcome in town, that is a problem. So it's kind of up to us as a committee to decide what kind of a stance and what kind of an approach to this report we want to take, right? Do we want to go the route where we're drawing absolute conclusions from this based on the data that was provided? Or do we want to take the stance that says, you know, even though we can't say that this is felt universally, we as a committee believe that the fact that anybody feels this way in today's day and age is a problem, and therefore there are issues we need to address as a town, right? So those are two kind of separate approaches. And I'm not saying one way is better than the other, and we could certainly combine them. And the what I'm thinking is, like, okay, for one of the groups that really only five people responded that way, you may not be able to draw the conclusion, okay, five people responded that way. We don't know that the town treats people with disabilities poorly because there were only five people. But those five people are human beings. They deserve to be treated with respect. And they, at some point in their duration in Bolton, have felt otherwise. And do we as townspeople in Bolton feel that that's acceptable? Does that make sense? I'm struggling to explain.
Yeah. No, yeah, it does. It does. My husband is pretty good with statistics, and I can have him look at this.
Ooh.
And see if there's anything that he can tell us based on that.
Absolutely. I mean, give him, and I can give him, well, you have the original.
Yeah.
And then you have the slicer, so you have all the scores in there. And then you have the draft report.
Yeah, I have everything I think that I can give him.
Yeah, so if he has any ideas, that would be super helpful. I mean, I'm inclined to take the far leftist approach, right? The very progressive approach, and just say, like, it's unacceptable that people in town who identify with a marginalized or minority group at some point have felt discriminated against or unwelcome in Bolton, because the general consensus, right, when you walk around town or you talk to the Bolton Board of Selectmen and what they said at their meetings when they were forming this commission is Bolton treats everybody fairly. Bolton is welcoming to everybody. And the conclusion that I can draw from this report is that there are people who at one point who identified with these groups have not felt welcome in Bolton. And that is what you are asking us to respond to in this committee. And that's what we're able to bring forth for you. Is it significant? Is it a large majority who feel that way? Maybe not, but take it with as you will. And, you know, I don't know. There's many different approaches we could take.
I like that approach, as long as we also, I think we do need to call out the things that don't seem to make sense. I think that gives us more credibility.
Absolutely.
I think that in the narrative to that, or whether it's verbal or written, it goes along with saying it would behoove us as a town to try to dive in and figure out what that means. If mm-hmm. that means asking people to come in and have a conversation with us about why that is, I think our next steps is trying to figure out why there's, what does that mean when people are saying these different things that are very different from each other?
Right.
That's what I would like to see. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what the next steps would be to make that happen. But in my opinion, that should be one of the things that we should be looking to do next.
Yeah.
We've got this information.
We have to come up with recommendations, right? And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
You know, so I look to question number 13, which is like suggestions, right? We ask them for suggestions for things we could do. One of the themes that came out was increased socialization, increased opportunity to get to know other people in Bolton, specifically as it relates to elevating issues of diversity or diverse identities, rather, not necessarily issues. So I think that's something we can highlight as a recommendation. There was quite a bit on town government services, very broadly. I think that a focus on affordable housing should be mentioned, because that came out as a theme over and over and over again in the narrative sections. I don't know that we have a specific recommendation, just that the town should be committed to creating affordable housing, because that seemed to be important to people.
They've been talking about that for 20 years.
I know. Well, and we're such a small town. They like passed a law that each town in Connecticut with 25,000 or more people needs to have a fair rent commission. But obviously, we're so small, we don't need to have a fair rent commission. What was this related to the commission in general? Yeah, I'm struggling with what recommendations we make to the board, to the town, based on these results. I mean, there's a lot related to social media was a theme, right? I think that given the picture of Bolton that's in social media, like the town people, the people that represent Bolton off of social media need to take a stance on certain things so that it's not what's on social media that drives people's perception of the town, because there was a lot of that. There was a lot of mention of social media. Not only, I think there was some on this one too. And I don't know how to do it, but the fact that there is always a contingency for every single one of these questions, I tried to label them all in yellow or in bright pink on each one, where basically are naysayers, right? The ones who have a negative perception of DEI work in general. If the board thinks that DEI is important, then they should have a problem. They could have a problem with this, you know, the people that are saying, stop spending time on DEI, everybody's the same. I'd like to draw a conclusion in that area. A lot of people seem to think that asking about DEI and elevating DEI indicates a negative opinion of the town, right? Like that was a theme that, you know, same with like we see on a national level, right? Like if you don't live, if you hate America so much, then why are you here? Kind of like if you hate Bolton so much, then why are you here? And that's a theme as well. And that I think that it speaks to the issue to like that the town could do a better job, you know, just elevating the issues of DEI, not necessarily as a negative thing, but as a positive thing that is not at odds with keeping the quote unquote character of Bolton and, you know, what's good about Bolton already, right? Like these two ideologies do not have to be diametrically at odds with each other.
I think it would be good if you did point out the comments that do point out that dichotomy.
Can you repeat that, John? You're really
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it would be good if we highlighted both extremes of what we're finding on this survey.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should hear, especially things that come across as nasty or mean or just totally dismissive, and that there is no problem and then highlight what people have said is the problem.
Right.
And of course, you know, try to find as many comments that Bolton is all sunshine and lollipops. I mean, they don't want to deal with anything to do with other people that aren't like themselves. It's all kind of right here. Because this is a lot. I would never, ever give all of this to them. I mean, make it available so they could look at it if they want to, but.
Oh, right. Yeah, no.
This is just overwhelming.
Of course. Yeah, no. And that's the thing, right? Is picking out what is salient and what.
Pick out the best and the worst.
Does anybody want to like help write this part? I mean, I'm quite frankly just worried about time at this point. Like writing this whole thing on my own it's like another full-time job. and we owe the committee, you know, we owe the Board of Selectmen something. So I mean, even if folks could go through and pick out like what they think are the best ones to highlight in the actual report itself would be helpful.
Yeah, I can help highlight what I think. Just like you want me to just cut and paste the questions into a.
I mean, you could just if you just open this, you can open the Excel, right? And you could just type in here, use this one or whatever.
Okay. All right.
Or highlight this, whatever you decide to do. Just tell me how you.
Okay.
Highlighted them, and then there's some, you know, that were really long that can be split up into multiple sections, which I think we can do. I just didn't take the time to do it.
Are these narratives going to be included in the report in the same section to which they kind of are you applied?
So the idea, which we didn't even get to look at the draft yet, but the idea would be that similar to how I laid out Where are these questions? So I haven't gotten to that. So I added the methodology, then I added results. So the results section is basically just laying out the responses. So we've got all the demographics that are here, and then we've got, if I can scroll down fast enough, and then we've got the just straightforward average responses for each question laid out without any type of analysis or assumptions behind it. And then the idea would be to move into a section on findings right here, where we would talk about the slicers, so variations in scores by subpopulations that we feel like we should pull out for the general population to understand. So for whoever's reading this, this stood out to us as something that's important. So then and I would do that probably in a quantitative section, right? So focus on the scores, the numeric values, and then I would jump into a qualitative section where I would go question by question, identifying the broad themes that came out for each of the questions. And here are a couple, examples of those themes. And then it would segue into the next section of, based on the results you wrote above and the findings, our analysis, basically the findings is our analysis of the results. This is what we're recommending to the board. So it's meant to have like a flow, right? But these are big chunks of the report that I have not gotten to yet. Or I could do the themes here and then findings, the narrative questions here and identify themes and lay it out here. And then I don't think it'll matter either way. It would be a similar type process. Or I could, instead of doing each question by itself, combine some of the questions, like strengths and positive experiences and challenges and negative experiences could probably be potentially combined, just to reduce the amount of work we have to do, and then pull out suggestions, so like three different chunks of narrative. So positives, challenges, negatives, and suggestions at the end. In terms of suggestions that the population, the respondents have. And then we have to pull together our recommendations for the committee. And I'm not quite sure what this looks like yet.
Well, I think we definitely, I think we have to challenge everybody to come back next time with recommendations. It can't just be you telling us what the recommendations are. No offense, but I think you've done so much work on this.
I don't want it to be just,
Right.
I think we can, I think some of the suggestions from the respondents lend themselves to suggestions, right? There were some very, very specific ones that I think might be good to include, like as low-hanging fruit, that we could include in the report. So someone wanted a baby changing station that they felt like the town facilities are not friendly to mothers. And someone thought it would be good to have gender-neutral bathrooms that they didn't, those are suggestions we can make to the Board of Selectmen that are theoretically shouldn't be that hard, but I know would cause challenges, right? But they're also small steps that don't cost a lot of money that could be taken, to just make the town more welcoming and more inclusive, based on, concrete suggestions from the respondents. But
On the Springfield, Missouri survey report, I noticed that they have a section called Next Steps. And the first thing says, some people will never be convinced that increasing diversity is a good idea. Oh. And then, yeah, then it explains that with a paragraph. And then after that, it says, describing why diversity and inclusion are important is a key first step. And then it talks about that. So I think there's some good suggestions in that report. That's the only other report I've looked at, but there's a bunch more suggestions in their report as well.
No, this is a good, we can build off of that. Yeah, we can certainly look at this as a jumping off point. And I think we could, looking at some of these, I can already, like, from my knowledge of the narratives, right? Like, I can already remember that there were some very specific responses that like speak to this, right? Like, so this suggestion right here, mm-hmm. all key players in the city and area must be on board. There was a narrative response that said, like, it starts at the top, the city officials have to be on board. So like, we can support these recommendations, next steps, suggestions with information from the survey. That's the key thing, right? We don't want to just put recommendations without having a basis for why we're making them, right? So it's tying it back to the survey response. So this is helpful to look at. I think this one is, or something to this effect, like facilitated dialogue. We can put the book, we can put the book club as a suggestion, right? That we think is a good way to, you know, bring people together to discuss issues in a non-confrontational manner. More ways to socialize was brought up as over and over again in the narrative questions. This one's a hard one, right? And it may speak to like the need for further exploration, right? Like, all the negative responses around the school systems, quite frankly, like, I understand there's a selection bias in the people that responded, but like, we, you know, there were people that have strong concerns about the way people with the children with disabilities have been treated in the school system. And like, the town should be concerned about that, right? Like, I don't know, but I feel like that came up quite a bit.
I'm surprised they're not more on top of that issue. One of the things I remember about many, many Board of Finance meetings over many years was the inability of most of the Board of Finance members to not really understand the necessary requirements, the legal requirements that we have to take care of the students that need special services. And they just didn't want to spend the money. They didn't understand how things work. It's such an education process that we need to go through just to help those who need the most help.
Right. Us. Yeah, you can't just keep cutting education budget. We have statutory minimum requirements.
Right, and they just don't get that, which is stunning because there were elected members on the Board of Finance that when I was on for 4.5 years. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah,
and that was really sad. And there's that kind of education that needs to go on with an awful lot of these issues.
Yeah, so I think there may be some suggestions we can come up specifically with because that was like a theme throughout, which was I know nothing about, right, because I have no children in the school system, but was interesting to see and I think should be addressed. So I'll do some thinking about, you know, things in terms that we can put in the suggestion section. I can make these sections Google Docs if people would like log into them and work on them in tandem. I mean, if people won't work on them like that or won't review them or make suggestions, then I won't bother, but I can certainly turn, you know, the report into a Google Doc that we can all work on together.
Yeah, that would be good. I
think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's good. I mean, I'll probably just put sentences or two. I'm not very good at writing, but I can certainly contribute in some way.
Oh yeah, bullet points even, or you can even comment and put in the comment section, anything that is helpful.
I think that would be great.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too. I know that I will definitely partake in that.
Hopefully that's not against the rules. No, we're not going to be like talking together. We're going to be working.
We're not making decisions.
Okay.
It's a work product.
Okay.
Let's call it a subcommittee.
No, we don't want to call it a subcommittee.
No.
It's not a subcommittee.
We can't have a subcommittee?
We can't have a subcommittee with every member of the board on it.
Otherwise, you have to have a meeting and it has to be recorded and there has to be an agenda. But well, yeah. We are all going to be working on it at the same time anyway, so it wouldn't be considered a meeting. We'll just have access to it. So I will turn the report as it stands into a Google Doc, understanding that the formatting is probably going to go kaflooey. So just be prepared for that, and I'll make it make sense in the end. But did you guys have, I know we spend a lot of time focused on, you know, the data, which is what the intent of this meeting was, and I'm sorry it's running so late. Did you have any questions, comments, concerns about the Word document, the written stuff I gave you?
I don't think you have to turn the whole report into a Google Doc. Just put the findings in the
Just that section? Okay.
Those two sections, because we're not going to be contributing to the statistics of this thing.
Okay. Well, I meant if you had comments about what I'd written to go along with it.
I mean, we can always add that. You can put like maybe an other page or something if somebody has a comment on something. If it's going to screw up your formatting and everything, it's not worth it to have to try to fix all that and all that. So,
yeah, I mean, you guys have the draft so far for the other section. So I don't know if you had a chance to read through it, anything that jumped out at you, anything that I haven't put any of the assumptions in. Well, I put some, but not like the overall arching assumptions like selection bias and yada, yada, yada. Nothing. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's overwhelming. I mean, like, I know you've been living and breathing this, but I went through it one time and then I had to go through it again. And like each time I took a little something. And like even today, after today listening to this, I thought this brings up more questions. I have to go back and look at something to see how that. So it's like something you can't digest all in one or even three sittings. It, like, you have to let it sink in.
Well, that brings up a good point, is that we are going to need an executive summary. So I will also put that in the Google Doc. So if people want to start working on synthesizing like a 2 to 3 page executive summary from this longer thing, that would be the goal. So, alrighty. Any other, we didn't get to the last agenda item, which is other business, which was basically me telling you I didn't get to any of the other business. there isn't really much left to discuss, but did anybody else have questions, comments, concerns you wanted to address before we adjourn for the evening?
I'm just wondering what we're going to do about the youth survey findings.
I'm working on that. I'm going to need some help from Amanda to work on the splicers, but I started doing the lookup. I finished all the lookups, but I got to do to that what Amanda did to this one. So,
yeah, and Rhea had offered to help too. I know she's been busy, but hopefully, I mean,
once you tell me how, I don't mind doing it because I think it might be easier for one person to do it versus splitting it up. But I didn't get it till last Monday, and then I had stuff or whatever last week.
She might be able to help write up stuff to go along with it.
Yeah, that would be fine. I can, you know, once I get with you, I probably could, because there's not that many.
Right.
I can probably take care of a lot of it within the next week or two.
Okay. So timing-wise, I know we'd hoped to get this to the Board of Selectmen by August or September. It's looking like we're going to be more like October, just realistically speaking. Do folks think I should be trying to get to the board in September and just say, hey, we're working on it? Or do you think I should just wait until October to share? I mean, and then there's the question of, are we going to continue past October, right? Because October's our last month. Though I don't necessarily feel like I can go to them in September and say, like, hey, are you going to continue us? Yeah, we haven't produced anything yet. So I'm a little torn.
I think you can probably just email Pam and say, you know, we're still working on it. We're, you know, getting the report finalized, and that would be enough for September. You know, our hope is to get this, you know, to be on the agenda for October. And I think we absolutely should be killing ourselves to try to get to that October.
Oh, yeah. Meeting. Yeah.
But that really means only one more meeting for us.
Right.
Right.
Unless we have an ad hoc one and we can have, you know, set up a special meeting.
That's yeah. True. And we might have to do that. But I think, I mean, in order to get to that, the first, whatever day, Tuesday in October, we have one more September meeting to get this, to have this finalized. So,
yeah. So I'll create the Google Doc like ASAP and share it with folks. So it'll be made so you can edit it. You won't need a Google account in order to access it. You'll just need to always click the link that I send out, the Google link, and that'll always take you to the document, even if you don't have Google. If you do have Google, it'll show up on your Google Drive in the Share with Me section. Sorry if you all know that already. Some people really don't know how to use Google, and I always just want to make sure people know how to access it. I'd love to get comments from other members of the group. I really hope Cheryl would be here because I talked to her previously and would love to get some buy-in. Is the consensus of the group that if the Board of Selectmen is willing to continue us past October, we would like to continue past October? I don't know how that would, like, if we need to be reconfirmed for positions, if they would open it up again or what that would mean, but.
I'd have to think about it. I'm not sure.
I would like the commission to continue, or you're not sure if you would continue with the commission?
Oh, I'm not sure if I would, but okay. I think that it would probably, I think the commission should continue.
Okay. Just wanted to get that clarification. Sorry, I want to cut you off.
I would also suggest that we might try to get them to change the name to something like Human Rights and Relations Commissions. That's what a lot of towns and cities call it that.
No, that's an old nomenclature. I don't think any of the new ones are called that. Are they?
What?
I don't think any of the more recently formed committees go by that name.
I know Manchester does, Weathersfield does, and I can't.
Oh, really? They still have the same.
That's what they call it.
Okay.
And it might assuage some of the people that are so prejudiced against diversity. And
your story.
Of course, then there's people that probably don't care much about human rights either. But so 6-1.
Sorry, Quinn. Go ahead. What were you saying? There.
What's that?
Kamal was chiming in earlier, but I cut him off to get clarification and follow up.
Oh, I think that was in response to the question about continuing, looking forward to continuing past October. And my response was basically yes. I think the committee should continue, and I definitely hope to look forward to continuing this level of work that we're providing for the community.
And hopefully recruit some new blood. We've had some folks wane kind of on us, and it would be great to have some more brain power. So, alrighty. Anything else before we wrap up?
Nope. All right.
It is officially very late, so we will adjourn as of 8:35, and I will create the Google Doc and see you guys in a few weeks. Okay. Enjoy back to school push. The end of summer. All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.